The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
We continue in our look at the shape of the liturgy, and the lesson objectives, as mentioned before, is to gain an understanding that Christ and the apostles handed down not only the rule of faith, but also the rule of prayer. To gain an understanding, too, that the shape of the liturgy is rooted in the Bible and in Jewish worship, and to try to get a grasp of the early development of the liturgy. We find throughout the New Testament a multitude of doxologies and hymns and blessings which formed a part of the rule of prayer of the first century church. And the following is a list from Lucian Dees' book, Springtime of the Liturgy. Actually, I have a more comprehensive list, and I'm not going to go through all of them. We don't really have time in this context. But I would like to highlight a few just by way of example. The first would be like an acclamation. Acclamations are words like holy, alleluia, glory, hosanna. This one is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 9, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, the people exclaimed, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" We also have various dismissals and invocations. Here's a dismissal from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. "To him who has power to strengthen you in accordance with my gospel and the message of Jesus Christ, a mystery wrapped in silence from eternity, but manifested today through the scriptures which foretell it according to the command of the eternal God, a mystery made known to all the nations to bring them to obey the faith, to the God who alone is wise, through Jesus Christ, to him glory forever and ever." Sometimes when a visitor comes to our church and they hear a lot of our opening invocations and dismissals, they might wonder or ask, why are you so formal? I mean, you know, all of this kind of ritualistic blessed be and to him be glory forever and ever. What is all of this? Well, if we looked at the Greek text, and all you Greek scholars out there, forgive me, I'm not very good at pronunciation, and I'm just kind of thinking this off the top of my head, but you know, there's a phrase that's used over and over again in these New Testament passages. Ke eston aeonos ton aeonon, amen. And that would be translated in a lot of our Bibles, forever and ever, or world without end, or unto eternity, or whatever. But the way we usually translate that is, you know, a little bit closer to coinciding with the Greek, now and ever, and unto ages of ages, amen. Aeonon, ton aeonos, ton aeonon. The eon, the age. Now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Now we hear verse 27 sounding like this. To God alone, to the God who alone is wise, through Jesus Christ, To him be glory now and ever and unto ages of ages. And the people respond, Amen. So you see where we're getting this? We're getting it from the Bible. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Here's an invocation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all consolation. It is He who consoles us in all our afflictions, so that we ourselves may be able to console those who are afflicted, thanks to the consolation we receive from God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all consolation. Are you hearing it? Are you getting the connection now? That what we're doing, basically, is we're reciting the Bible. What is the language of the liturgy? Is the language of the Bible. And so this is where we get these things. This is what our prayer is rooted in. Here's another dismissal. And I'm going to intone it like you would hear it in church. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. God will satisfy all your needs according to His riches with glory in Jesus Christ. To God our Father be glory now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. I love it. All right. There are a number of Christological hymns, and I'd like to read just one to you from 1 Timothy. You can hear me turning a lot of pages in this book. Please forgive me for that. I know it's kind of annoying. Anyway, I've heard this as a song. It is great, the mystery of godliness, Christ manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, contemplated by the angels, proclaimed among the pagans, believed in the world, exalted in glory. We have hymns in the New Testament that would be considered professions of faith and baptismal hymns. Here's one from 1 Corinthians 8, 6. There is only one God, the Father, from whom all things come and for whom we were created. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things exist and through whom we were created. Sound kind of like the creed? The creed, you know, is the creed just out of nowhere? The creed is taken from the Bible and put together as this perfect statement of the faith, the symbol of the faith. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, we hear this. Endeavor to pursue, to preserve unity of spirit through the bonds of peace, one body, one spirit, as well as one hope to which you have been called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Here's another passage, a verse from Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 14. Considered an ancient baptismal hymn, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. We also have in the Gospel of Luke four canonical hymns. And let me read those to you. You're familiar with these, but we use these in various services. This one, the Canticle of Mary, is sung in the Matin service, the Orthros service. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit trembles with joy in God my Savior, for He has gazed on His lowly servant maid. See, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done wonderful things to me, and holy is His name. His mercy extends from generation to generation towards those who fear him. He displays the strength of his arm. He scatters the proud of heart. He overthrows the mighty from their thrones. He raises up the lowly. The hungry he fills with good things, but the rich he sends empty-handed away. He helps Israel, his child, being mindful of his mercy, as he promised our fathers on behalf of Abraham and his race forever. I don't know what translation Deese is using in here. This is not a familiar translation to me, but I think you're all familiar with this hymn. And also, it continues with the conclusion of this is from Luke 1, 68 to 79, and this is the canticle of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He visits and rescues his people. He raises up a mighty power for salvation in the house of David, his servant, as he foretold by the mouth of the saints of old, his prophets. He saves us from our enemies and from the grasp of all who hate us. He shows mercy to our fathers. He is mindful of his holy covenant, the oath sworn to our father Abraham, to grant us that we would be rescued from the hand of our enemies and serve him without fear, in justice and holiness before him throughout our days. And you, little child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will walk before the face of the Lord to prepare his paths, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in forgiveness of sins through the mercy of the heart of our God. The rising sun who comes to visit us, a light upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, a guide for our feet on the road of peace. Here's another canticle, Luke 2:14, and you'll be more familiar with this. This is the canticle of the angels in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We find finally in Luke, let's see, I don't see the phrase, but it's also right in this section. Luke 2, 29-32, that's it. The canticle of St. Simeon. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. These are songs, these are hymns, and the church uses these hymns of Mary, of Zechariah, of the angels, of St. Simeon, in our prayer, in our worship services. Finally, we have a number of prophetic hymns. And I want to read some from the book of Revelation. Again, Song of the Angels. And we sing this in the second part of our Divine Liturgy. We'll discuss this more later. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the God, the Almighty, he who was and who is coming. Revelation 4:8. That holy, 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 we see it in Isaiah also in his vision of heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, we hear this, it's familiar to many people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise. To him who sits on the throne, the Lamb, praise, honor, glory, and power. Now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. I made my own translation there from the Greek. But, you know, we might see it forever and ever. But as I said before, we know what that phrase is. I think of Handel's Messiah. You know, I grew up with that oratorio and still love to go around Advent season when many communities sing through this, and often after they finish the first section of Handel's Messiah, they'll skip down and do excerpts from the third section. This Worthy is the Lamb is from that third section. Also in Revelation chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Praise, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power, and strength to God, to our God, forever and ever. Amen. And finally, in Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. Alleluia, for he reigns. This is the text that inspired the Hallelujah chorus in Handel's Messiah. Alleluia, for he reigns, the Lord our God, the Almighty. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For behold, the marriage of the Lamb. His bride is ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself in linen bright and pure. This linen is the good works of the saints. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever and ever, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Can you see now that Christ and the apostles handed down not only the rule of faith, but also the rule of prayer? Who wrote the New Testament? The apostles. And that it's rooted, our worship is rooted in the Bible. To reflect that these doxologies, hymns, and blessings were not simply the words of the writers of the Gospels and letters, but formed and were actually taken from the rule of prayer of the early church, is to be staggered. This fact is indeed earth-shattering to those who previously believed that early Christian worship was non-liturgical, ecstatic, and free-flowing in character. But if we really believe that the rule of prayer is the rule of faith, then we must believe that Christ and his apostles not only handed down the rule of faith, but also the rule of prayer. And when we embrace this truth, we then begin to see that the rule of prayer has been there in our Bibles all along.
And that was Father John Finley with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, Exploring the Orthodox Faith Through Music and Liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.